You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
We're joined today by Rebecca, or Becky, Williams, an amateur gardener from Essex who created a beautiful multi-sensory garden design which will be featured at the upcoming Gardeners World Live in Birmingham this June. And Becky joins us now. It is so lovely to speak with you today.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Now, your garden is called Sensed, Not Seen. Can you talk about the inspiration for this garden? How did this design come about?
I have grown up with a parent who is blind, and so he is the main inspiration for the garden. And when I have been to garden shows before, I've got into gardening myself. When I thought I want to have a go at that and have a go at going to a show, I thought there's no other sort of design or idea that I had apart from building a garden for those who are blind or visually impaired, because that's, you know, the main thing that I'm passionate about, and to raise awareness and educate people about that. So I just jotted down loads of different ideas, and I thought, what actually is the garden about? So I'm celebrating the senses other than sight. The idea is that it will be a safe, accessible space that everyone can enjoy. So I came up with Sensed because of all the senses, and Not Seen. So hopefully the title of the garden really sort of captures it.
And I love how you said there that you're focusing on other senses. And I guess with garden design, and when it comes to trying to make something multi-sensory or accessible, we often think, oh, we'll just put in some fragrant flowers or some vibrant flowers for anyone who has some residual sight.
You're right. So I didn't just want to, like you say, just pop in some fragrant lavender or whatever. So I've tried every aspect of the garden when it comes to the landscaping, the seating area, the water features. I've tried to pop the visually impaired community at the heart of that. And it was really good to be able to speak to my dad about it in the initial stages, because I could get firsthand feedback. I also went to Support for Sight, who is the charity that I'm working with, but I was also able to go along to one of those groups and get firsthand feedback from the users of the garden and who it's for. So along with fragrance, there is also going to be, you know, the water for the sound, the rustling of the trees. I've picked specific trees which will hopefully create that. With the landscaping and accessibility, I've made sure that my pathways are wide enough for, you know, a long cane user or someone with a guide dog or a guide, making sure that there's at least sort of 1.2 meters around everywhere so it's actually accessible. Because when I laid it out in my garden back in November, the size of the garden was actually smaller than it is going to be now. So it was originally 4 by 4 meters, but we've gone up to 5 by 6 meters because it just wouldn't have worked. And I wanted to actually build something that's going to work, because that's the whole point. I want to show that we could create this somewhere else, you know, in the community for everyone to enjoy. So yeah, I've really tried to think about every aspect, you know, the planting that I've picked along with fragrance. I've gone for bold contrasting colours, so obviously the purples and the yellows, so someone with low vision can hopefully glimpse a part of that as well. Picked plants, there's some really lovely plants that you can rustle in the sound of it. The heart of the garden, there's a what I'm calling an interpretation planter, so we've got the smell, the taste, the touch, the sound within that. And I'm popping in some Braille plant labels. So I know not everyone reads Braille. I know not everyone has a guide dog. Not everyone has a long cane. But I'm trying to make it as accessible for everyone with visual impairment.
It makes sense, giving a few options. And you said taste there. What are we tasting? Or do you know one too?
No, it's okay. So in the taste section, I'm planning to have tomatoes, strawberries, some herbs. And there's also a plant called nasturtium, which you can eat as well.
Oh, lovely. You're not worried there's not going to be any left by the time the event's finished?
Well, the thing is, the actual garden itself will be kind of an invite-only walk-on. So not everyone will be walking on it. And it's, I guess it's just there to represent that you can have all those different other senses in the garden as well. So if I'm getting hungry, I might have to pick a tomato off.
I guess it's really good inspiration for anyone who maybe is visually impaired and wants to maybe pick up gardening and think about, oh, I could maybe do some edibles that I can maybe use in my kitchen later.
Absolutely. That's what I really hope. I really hope that I can, and the planting I've picked as well, they're all sort of herbaceous perennials, so they're ones that will hopefully be easier to maintain for a visually impaired person. They can think, oh, I can just take a little patch, a meter square of that garden since not seen, and bring it home to their garden. So that's what I hope for.
That's lovely. And you're not an official garden designer. I think you did some stuff in your own garden before. What drew you to gardening, and did your dad love gardening as well? Was there a connection there?
So dad didn't, he wasn't a gardener, but he loved the garden. He loved being outdoors, going for walks when he could. He loved the sun. I think he'd have his shorts on 11 months of the year. Back home now, they've got a lovely maintained garden and mum looks after it. So he wasn't a gardener, but he liked the garden. And for myself, it's always been something that I think's been within me, but as I've got older and sort of really pursuing that more. So when I was younger, I used to go to a place called Barnard's Farm, which is in Essex. It's part of the National Garden Scheme, but it's sort of a 22 hectare site with a national sculpture collection. And my nan used to clean at the house there. So I went out with the gardeners. I used to go and stay with my nan sort of through the school holidays. I'd go out with the gardeners and she'd be in the house cleaning. And it's just, I think that's my grandparents had lovely gardens. And then I hope now that a couple of years ago, I found myself in a bit of a position where we had some tough times. Dad got unwell on holiday, and that was all very stressful. And I kind of found the garden because it's just got so many mental health benefits and well-being benefits. Just putting your hands in some soil and being in the fresh air, it can really boost your mood. So that's really where it's come the last couple of years. I don't have any qualifications yet. I don't see myself as a designer or, a horticulturist, but I'm hoping to go in that direction.
That sounds amazing. And would you mind telling us a little bit about the connection? So the charity you mentioned there is Support for Sight Charity. So why is this a charity that's so close to your heart and perhaps, I guess, to your dad as well?
So Support for Sight, they were originally based in Saffron Walden. I think they started in 94. And they've kind of slowly come over. So Mid and West Essex is where they support visually impaired people and their families, with sort of the practical and social issues that might come with losing your sight. And they do demos of sort of low vision equipment. They can go into the home. And they have hubs where sort of people that may not speak to anyone else during the day will come along. And my mum and dad volunteered for them for quite a few years and actually ran one of the hubs in their local town. I approached them and was, delighted that they've sort of come on board and hope to raise a lot of awareness for them. We are also going to donate. So on the Sunday, we can sell off as much of the garden and we're going to donate that money to Support for Sight. But the absolute dream would be to relocate the whole garden. But that comes with its challenges. I have spoke to quite a few different people, but unfortunately, yet haven't found someone that could take the garden on. But that would be the dream to relocate it back to Essex.
And obviously, the event is still not until, is it the 21st of June?
It's the 18th to the
Till the very first.
21st.
So, still a bit of time. So, hopefully, that is going to happen. And has the charity supported your dad? Because your dad was registered blind.
They've supported him and my mum because they do sort of social trips and events, and they were sort of really key dates that my mum and dad looked forward to going along. And like I say, they do different equipment, so you can check out the technology before you might buy it. And they have supported my mum since, so that's been really nice.
And I guess a slightly more difficult question here. I was very sorry to hear that your dad passed away recently. So now, obviously, the garden was inspired by him, but now it's also a beautiful gesture in memory of him, which must put a whole new layer to the event coming up.
So dad unfortunately died just over 5 weeks ago now. And it was a shock, obviously, as it would be for anyone. But he knew all about the garden. He knew all about the money that we raised. So right up until, the beginning of April, he was hearing all about what I was doing, and he knew that I was coming on to speak to you. So I take comfort in that. And yes, it is going to be in his memory now. I hope that I'll do him proud and do it justice. I'm obviously really sad that he can't experience it in person, but my mum and my family will be there, and yeah, it's and I think that's I'd love to be able to relocate it. That's for another reason, just so we can have that place to go. It would be really, really special. If anyone can help or think about relocating it to Essex, then please do get in touch. But we will, you know, the bench, we're going to make that kind of a memorial bench now, and we'll bring that back with us at least to have that.
Well, Rebecca, I know we spoke about your dad a lot as someone who had sight loss, but if you were to describe him to someone just as a person beyond, you know, something he didn't have, how would you describe him?
It was, well, I sort of have always described him as the bravest and strongest person that I know. I think he was determined, he was funny, and he just wanted to always help other people. He was so kind, you know, and I think that showed at his funeral. There was a big turnout of people, and that was, you know, that brought us a lot of comfort that everyone just said, you know, he was just a good guy, you know, he wouldn't hurt a fly. And back in his sort of when he started losing his sight, which was in his 20s, through the diabetic retinopathy, he campaigned for RNIB. He set up a, I've got a picture here, the RNIB bookstore he was manager of.
Would you mind describing the image to us as well? So I
Yeah, of course.
think.
So it's a picture of the RNIB bookstore, which was set up in Chelmsford in Essex. And it's just the front of the store with the doors and sort of an empty shop inside. You can see all the books inside, but it's a bit of an old image. It's a bit blurry, to be honest.
That's
But yeah,
okay. I can see
that's.
the old RNIB logo as well. I think the blue color as well.
So yeah, once Dad lost his sight, he went over to the Skills and Development Centre for visually impaired people in Torquay. My mum told me it's unfortunately not there anymore. But once he'd been there, he decided that there wasn't enough support for people with sight loss. So I think the RNIB approached him, and he'd been doing volunteering for them for years, but he actually became the chairman of the Whittam District Group where they lived. Yeah, he raised a lot of money himself for RNIB and the charity. And I'm just, overall, I'm just so proud of him. I'm proud to call him my dad, and I hope that I can carry on raising that awareness, breaking down those barriers, educating people. That's what I want to carry on and do.
And uphold his legacy in such a wonderful way as well. And for anyone who would like to find out more about the garden fundraiser and learn a little bit more about what you do, I know you're on social media, so would that be the best way to learn more?
Yeah, you can either go on to, so on Instagram, it's Becky's Garden, or if you go on to BBC Gardeners World Live, or just type sensed, not seen, you'll see me pop up there.
Fantastic. Well, Rebecca, Becky Williams, thank you so much for speaking on RNAB Connect Radio.
Thank you. I would absolutely love to see you there, Paulina, if you can. And I'd love to see as many people there as possible. So if anyone is available to come to Birmingham, then please do.
For more interviews, features, and shows, go to your favourite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.